And I believe it's because of your research. You're doing the intro.
No, I didn't forget.
And I can't get it out.
Okay. Did you get at least two copies?
There's four copies.
Okay.
Separated.
Okay, thank you. Here. Would you give Miss Jo one right there?
This is going to be on Providence. Pre-preparation or forethought. God had prepared or forethought a plan to accomplish his purpose even before the creation. Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil." God rules the world, but he does so by natural means in the lives of individuals, by events that take place in our lives. It should be a comfort to us to know that under God's watchful eye, these things shape together as he has planned. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths." And Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." God created men free moral agents, and since the beginning of time, he has never taken away that right. But under his guiding hand, he's used individuals to accomplish his purpose. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." One example of this is Jacob and Esau in Genesis 25. God did not cause Esau to sell his birthright to Jacob, but by his doing so, and through a series of natural events, Jacob became the father of the Israelite nation. All through history, God has used nation against nation to accomplish his purpose, always under his guiding hand. Proverbs 21:31 says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord." God planned for our salvation through Christ even before creation. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." This was brought about by God shaping together events in the lives of individuals and nations since the beginning of time. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We're not going to be able to see something good come out of everything that goes on in our lives. We have to take the bad with the good. For Hebrews 12:6 says, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." If we have faith in God, we know he is shaping everything, the good and the bad, together according to his purpose.
Kind of goes along with this complaining theme, don't it?
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you, this was me on that day, those 2 days. This is what I look like. I just dried out. Okay. I guess we'll start off with the reading. So, I came up with this. I like this little idea because I had everybody at my house sit down and think of all of those things that we often overlook, just the little things that you tend to forget about. But that was just some of my examples. And if we have time at the end, well, maybe everybody can share some of theirs with us. Okay, in the beginning, complaining. The cost of negativity of the U.S. economy is between $250 billion and $300 billion every year. and lost productivity according to the Gallup organization. This is staggering numbers for companies and businesses to deal with. In the research that I've done, I've researched that a little bit in my lesson, and it says that a supermarket with one complaint, it cost them $2,000 just to address that one complaint. And insurance companies, it cost them over $1,000 just to make any changes that they have to any complaints. I thought that was interesting. But when we stop and think about the spiritual side of things, John 14:6 reminds us that negative behavior is going against Christ. There are lots of ways that Christians can stand out from the world, and not complaining is one we might not often think about. The world is constantly unsatisfied, and there is no contentment or gratitude toward the Lord for what He has given them. But as Christians, we have a serious responsibility. I guess we'll start reading, and we'll start with Linda, and whoever wants to read, then we'll just go to the next layer and answer the question and talk about it.
John 14:6?
Start with 2 Corinthians. Okay.
Second Corinthians 5 and 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
So, what does that mean to us? How does that apply to us as ambassadors?
Well, we're to be like Christ and to set an example for others.
We represent Christ.
Represent. Like an ambassador, they're given credentials to prove their position, and they're sent out as the chief, for the chief executive. So that's kind of what we are. We're sent out for Christ. We represent Him. So if we're complaining, and everybody hears us complaining as Christians, are we going to be able to reach anybody that way?
No. And when we choose ambassadors, we don't choose people, our country. They send a good guy to go to England or France or wherever. To run things smoothly. Take care of business.
So is complaining a sin? Why or why not?
I said not always, because I immediately thought of the Grecian widows. And then I saw at the end of the lesson you put something in about that. So I think it's the way, if there is a need that needs to be addressed, then someone needs to address that need. But it's the way we go about it, our attitude.
That appropriate way to go about it. Mm-hmm. So does it show a lack of faith in us when we complain?
It can.
To show that. How do complaining and negativity affect our relationship with Christ?
Well, you really couldn't be an ambassador and complain, because you're going to have to face all kinds of different situations and problems. So you really can't be an ambassador if you're a complainer.
If you complain all the time, you're considered miserable and unhappy, and who wants to be like that? You know, if you claim to be a child of God, but yet you're unhappy and complaining all the time,
nobody
wants to be around you. And
well, we're supposed to be content in all mm-hmm. things.
Exactly.
It says Christ hates complaining.
That's the same.
Well, we're not following Christ's example either, are
right.
we? Because what if he complained? Did he ever complain about anything? Not once did he ever complain. My feet are too tired.
Hinders us from having the joy and the blessings that we had in Christ.
The joy of salvation. If
hinders that.
And we just have to look at Paul. And Paul, now Peter may have complained some, but Paul was an ambassador.
He was content in everything.
Yes.
In the situation.
Okay. And what everything we do should be for edifying too. And if we're complaining, we're not edifying anyone.
Have you ever been around those people that they just complain, and when you leave, you just feel so beat up. You're just so drained
exhausted.
Of your energy, and you're just beat down to the ground. How about the people around us?
Well, I think they kind of answered it.
It's all about that. Our complaints usually come from unsatisfied desires. You want something and you want it a certain way and nobody's doing it your way. So,
if you want to complain, you could complain to your pet. Or
well, I complain to her all the time. When I was thinking of that, about the people around us, I thought about the sons of Israel. When Cliffy's mentioning the sons of Israel, and when they chose to dispose of Joseph, that's the kind of quarreling and fighting that complaining causes. It starts this way, to seeing that, you're not doing this right, or you're not doing that right, or how dare you? You know, you're wanting something from me, or you're saying that I'm going to do something and I'm not. It can cause us to fight and quarrel with our families. It can cause us to quarrel and fight with our friends and even strangers. Have you ever seen those people in the grocery stores, supermarkets, or the pharmacy? I go to pick up the prescriptions for my sister all the time at the Walmart pharmacy, and they just complain and complain and complain about the people behind there and the people in the line. And the other day, there was a man in there, and there was a younger man. This was an older man, and there was a younger man, and he was just belligerent to the lady back there and just saying ugly things to her. And finally the man told him, he said, the older man, he said, you know, we're all having to stand in this line and it's a long line and she's doing her best. And it just, his temper flared. I thought he was going to hit that older man. So I thought, complaining, it just causes fights even with strangers. Tommy, would you like to read?
I'm just there if somebody else would.
It's fine. Chris, would you read that? Complaining is contentious.
Do you want me to read the Exodus 16:2-12?
Yeah.
Okay. And the Exodus 17:3-7? Both sections or just the
first one? Well, let's go ahead and read the complaining is contentious first.
Let me read the
section. Yeah.
This part.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I was trying to follow you in. We know from God's telling to the Israelites in the
Exodus. I can barely hear you. Can you?
I will try.
Okay. Thank you.
We know from God's dealing with the Israelites in the Old Testament, we complain time after time against him and Moses, and that God hates complaining. Nothing could make the generation happy, and they always found something to gripe to God about. We are to learn from Israel, understanding that complaining is not uncommon to man. Usually, you will find complainers stirring up trouble. They often engage in backbiting, slander, or misrepresenting the truth. They are often unforgiving, ruthless, and self-seeking. Complaining often tests the Lord's patience. As Christians, we must be extremely careful not to be caught up.
Well, to me, that's an ugly image of a person. It's always complaining, misrepresenting the truth. It's like a really ugly image of a person that does that. What about those who negatively? It's really less obvious. They went in their tents and they murmured against Moses and they murmured against God. And it's always that they're just. You know, it's really less obvious to us.
Eventually, I think it's going to be obvious, because anytime we all know we've got our feelings hurt or for some reason or been mad about something, and we hold it inside, and it's just like a cancer. You lash out at something else when really that's the cause, because you harbored these feelings and stuff. So that would be wrong.